Well, in case you didn't guess already, we're talking about baptism today, right? And when I was in high school, I decided that I wanted to be baptized. I had kind of had some religious experiences. I had kind of become part of a group of people my age who were really into the church and excited about what God was doing. And I decided this was the point at which I wanted to be baptized. And I was so excited about it. And then there were two problems with that. The first of all was that I was already baptized. I had been baptized as a baby. The second problem is that in the United Methodist Church, we don't re-baptize people. So it was kind of out of luck. And I was really frustrated, as many high school kids can be, because I kind of felt like I was cheated. Like I didn't get to have this experience of baptism that I wanted. And I felt like I was kind of going to be stuck. That I hadn't done things in quite the right order, that my story was kind of always going to be messed up because I didn't have my baptism as this focal point in the start of my faith when I was claiming it for myself and moving into the rest of my life. It was rough. My parents did not let me be rebaptized. And so today we have the chance to talk about Jesus' story of baptism. Of Jesus being baptized. And we're reading from the book of Matthew, and right before this, like Lauren was talking about with the kids, is the story of John, his cousin. And so John, we call him John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, was a guy who had some really interesting attire choices. So real interesting clothing, and was sort of walking around yelling at people, repent and be baptized because the Messiah is coming. He was going around telling people that they had to be baptized in Jordan River in preparation for what God was doing, and really in preparation for Jesus. And so then we come to this point in the story where Jesus comes to John. And this is from the third chapter, and it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came out from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God, this morning. So when we think about Jesus' baptism, at this point in the story, if we read a little bit further, we recognize that this is the starting point of Jesus' public ministry, what we call Jesus' public ministry. He goes out from this point of his baptism out into the world to begin his ministry, what we read about in the rest of the gospel. But what we don't talk about very often, and what a lot of us probably don't remember about this, is that the rest of the book of Matthew, all the stuff we've been talking about in preparation and for Christmas, the story of Jesus' history, his lineage, the story of his birth, his mother, his earthly father, Joseph, the story of the Magi seeing a star and recognizing him, the story of Herod persecuting him, the story of John recognizing him and preparing a way for him. All that part of the story, we really believe, was Matthew's way of setting up Jesus' identity for the people who are going to be hearing about him. Matthew wanted to prove to people that Jesus was divine, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the chosen one, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so there's all of these little puzzle pieces in the story up to this point that when you stack them all together, it gives you a pretty good argument for who Jesus really is, for his identity as somebody really special, as God's Son. And so it's really interesting that we get to this point in the story and all of those other pieces, all the other parts about who Jesus is and where he came from and all of those things are helpful and important, and maybe they swayed people at the time, but somehow it wasn't enough yet. for Jesus to enter into the next part of his story, to enter into his public ministry, he needed to be baptized, right? This becomes the starting point, the focal point. Everything switches from this point on. For some reason, Jesus needs to be baptized in this moment, and that's the thing that sort of unlocks the next chapter. Now, I know for a lot of us, when we start talking about Jesus' baptism, it's really easy for us to then begin to think about our baptism, right? To how we understand it in the church, how maybe it's understood in the wider Christian culture. Why do we think it's important? Why do we even do it? What's the right way to do it, right? All of those questions maybe are coming to mind for you. So I want you to think about it for just a second. Why do we do baptism? What's the point? What does it do for us? What does it do for our community? And I think when I talk to people about baptism in our church and other churches outside of the church, the things I hear the most about what baptism is about, is like our sinfulness, right? We're sinful, and so we need to be washed. Our sins need to be washed away. We need to have that moment of being baptized so that our original sin is taken away and we can begin anew. That can be our starting point. We hear a lot about what, like John's talking about, right? Repentance. That baptism is our chance to repent. That we need to repent for all of the things that we've done or all the things we're going to do so that we can start this new life. If there's something about it, about dying to our old self and being raised to new life with Christ, right? We talk about that when we talk about baptism. And so often when we talk about baptism, what I hear is we're talking about our own deficiencies, right? What's not quite right about us? What's not good enough about us? What we need to fix before we can move forward? And while a lot of those things are true, none of us are perfect, it so easily becomes this focus point of baptism, which makes it really interesting when we talk about Jesus' baptism, right? Because one of the things that we in the Christian church tend to believe about Jesus is that Jesus was sinless. Jesus didn't need to have his sins washed away, so why did he get baptized? We tend to think of Jesus as being perfect, not really even having anything to repent for, so why did he need to be baptized? We haven't even gotten to this part of the story about dying with Christ and being raised with Christ again, so that's probably not why Jesus is being baptized either. What's going on in this story of Jesus' baptism that would mean that he would need to be baptized? What does that give us about our baptism? What does that tell us about what's going on here? And this week, it just really stood out to me that there's sort of this center point, this starting point for Jesus. When we have all of this build up to his identity of being God's chosen one, Son of God, Messiah. And in this very moment where he comes up from the water and God's Spirit comes down, and what he hears is, "This is my child. This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And in that moment, and with those words, it's like, that's the thing. All the other parts of who Jesus is and where he came from, and even all the parts about what he will do, don't change that basic identity. That the starting point of Jesus' ministry, the starting point of Jesus' identity, is beloved, is love. It has something to say about the way that God loves so deeply all of creation, in and through Jesus, and in and through us as well. Now, I know for a lot of us, when we think about accepting this idea, right, of being beloved, we talk about it in terms of when we do baptism. We talk about it as an important part of confirmation and how we understand ourselves. But I think, sort of like the story of Jesus, it's really easy for us to get hung up on that other stuff, on the we're not quite good enough yet. I haven't got it all quite figured out yet. I don't quite understand all of this yet. I don't quite believe all this stuff yet. I'm not quite all the way there. So I can't take that next step forward. Maybe for you it's actually literally baptism. Maybe you feel like you're not worthy to be baptized yet. Or maybe it's joining the church. Or maybe it's doing that crazy thing that God has called you to do. Or maybe it's believing that you are deeply loved as the person that God created you to be. That can be really hard too. There's so many of those things that hold us back. Just like we're talking about Jesus's lineage and who his mom was and what other people did and what other people said, when it comes down to it, our starting point isn't in all of those places. It's not what we've done. It's not what we're going to do. It's not what other people say about us or when other people determine that this is true. Our starting point is God's love for us, our belovedness. So I think our invitation today really is to hear the words that Jesus heard. We don't really believe that our baptism is modeled directly after Jesus' baptism, and we all know we're not Jesus. But I think the invitation to us today is to hear those same words. This is my beloved. This is my child. I'm pleased. That's your starting point. Maybe for the new year, we're a little past the whole New Year's resolution stuff, but for this year, what would it look like if the center, if the basis of your identity too was based in God's love for you? Not in your New Year's resolutions or the other things that you have planned or the other things you've done. What would that look like for us? Now, I hope in my dream is that I say that today. I say, you are beloved. And everyone just automatically has this overwhelming sense. And they get it and they feel it and it's exciting and it's wonderful. But it doesn't always work like that. It doesn't always happen. The invitation for us is to continue to practice being beloved. To continue to remind ourselves how much God loves us, whatever that takes. And so today, like Lauren showed the kids down here, we have the baptismal font. And there's a bowl, and there's water, and there's some little rocks in there. And so today, as you head out into the world, sort of your starting point for this week, or maybe for this month, or maybe for sort of a new time in your life, the starting point there is your belovedness. And so you're invited to take that stone, or even just to dip your hand in. You can touch your forehead or your heart. You can make the sign of the cross if you'd like. You can take that rock with you to remind yourself today, tomorrow, and next week, and on and on and on, that you're loved. That your identity is based in God's love for you. Anyone is welcome to do that, to touch the water, to take the water, either in remembrance of your baptism or in anticipation. So if you'd like to talk about that with me, please let me know, right? It's something open to all of us today, because God's love is a starting point for each and every one of us every day. So obviously, like I said, I was never rebaptized. That wasn't part of my story. I didn't get to be rebaptized, and clearly it didn't slow me down a whole lot. When I went to seminary, right, the school where you're supposed to learn about all this stuff and figure this stuff all out, I remember learning about our baptismal theology, what we believe about baptism in the United Methodist Church. And I remember beginning to slowly see that my story wasn't so much about that particular point where I wanted to be baptized, but about the truth of my belovedness back from when I was baptized as a baby, when my parents decided to bring me forward, to have me baptized, to offer me and my life to God. Although I had this point at which I thought baptism was supposed to go in my story, and I was afraid that I'd be stuck if it didn't go in just that right order, the surprise so often is that God has been a part of the story all along. That perhaps it took me until high school, or maybe until seminary, or maybe I'm still working on it, to fully, deeply accept God's radical love for me. But the truth of our identity in God's belovedness is the very starting point of all of our lives. Today we have the opportunity to continue in that love and to begin our story, continue our story, live our story in the light of God's love. Amen. So now is a time where we go back into the world to be the church. I invite you today to think of the exit here as really the entrance, the starting point to your week or to your month or maybe to a new year for you. And as you touch the water, as you take a stone, today be reminded that as we leave, that our identity today and every day is based in God's love for us. Amen.